Pickaxe.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
And welcome to the Triforce podcast. I'm on my own this week, I assume. I don't know where Sips and Lewis are. I'm just recording at home and I don't know, hanging
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we did one without you a while back, so it's your turn to do
this?
One by yourself.
So the Triforce is actually meant to be three people, not this two people and leaving me out.
Well, Lewis, no, we're paying you back. You're doing this one on your own this week. Okay. We're just going to sit here and listen and make sure that you're doing it right, sort of thing.
Okay.
It's like a job interview, sort of.
I don't need a job interview.
Yeah.
You can keep your job, buddy.
I don't need that extra pressure. I got two kids. I had a wife. I had a job and a family. I don't need no pesky job interview.
Damn right.
Pressure from you, you son of a bitch.
Do you ever wonder that, like, I worry about one day all this, you know, internet stuff not working out anymore, and I'll have to go and get a real job, and I'll have to go in and they'll say, all right, Mr. Forsyth, we've had a look at your CV here, and there appears to be a 10-year gap in employment. What were you doing in this time? Just playing games on the internet.
Yeah.
Playing games.
Do you know, I think about this from time to time, and if the past 4 years of playing games on the internet for a living have made me not give a fuck at all about the future. Like if it all dries up and I have to go back to a job or whatever, fuck it. I don't give a shit. Like I'll work.
What are you gonna do?
I don't care. Like honestly, like I could care less. I will not emotionally invest into any job that I take.
Yeah.
So I will turn up. I'll be like the guy from Office Space. I'll just like gut a fish on my desk or just do whatever. Because man, I've worked with people like that. Like all the places I used to work at, I was like, oh shit, you know, it's important. It's a career. I got to like do well. I have to like progress and stuff. And like none of that shit matters at like those jobs. Like it's who you know. It's who you went to school with, or like if you fucking fit in with like these weird, awkward fucking middle-aged people such as myself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how you get ahead, and like that's how you get your opportunities and stuff. It doesn't matter how hard you work or how much you care or don't care or whatever. So if I ever have to go back to work, my motto is fuck the world. I'm gonna like Tony Montana style. I'm just gonna turn up and I'm just gonna either kill everybody or just do whatever I feel like doing. Like, I'll just snort cocaine off my desk and stuff. I don't give a fuck.
So that's your answer to the where do you see yourself in 5 years question in the job interview is,
yeah,
fuck
yeah.
the world.
I think the older you get, the less of a fuck you give as well. So it's like, whatever. Yeah, that's where I'm heading.
There's always this paranoia in the back of your mind that you're going to, like, be that everything's suddenly this joyful job that we have is suddenly going to come to an end, right? And I think that's the same for everyone in every job, right? That they like doing.
Yeah.
They're always paranoid about losing what they love. It's just a natural human thing, right? But the reality is that, yeah, I'm never going to go back into chemistry. You know, I haven't done it for like 10 years or whatever. It's not going to be a thing. But
I mastered that already.
What have I been doing for the past 5 years? Well, editing videos, like doing community stuff, you know, like I've done a lot.
True.
And I think that there's jobs out there for the stuff that you and me have been doing. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't have to go back and try and find a job in a bank again, Sips or whatever. You know, there's different jobs now based on what you've been doing for the past 5 years. It's not like you've been out of work. It's not like you've been, you know, not doing anything that wasn't successful.
It feels like I have been out of work though. Like it is a totally different mindset. Just like sitting in your dad pad playing video games all day.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, fucking talking about TPS reports with Jenny from accounts.
Listen, I imagine us like at the worst being like a crappy character in Star Wars, like the guy who was Salacious Crumb, right? He makes a living going to like 3 or 4 conferences a year, selling pictures of himself and meeting fans. There's enough Sips fans out there, right? That, and PFLAX fans, probably too.
Doubtful.
Right? That, you know, you could make a little bit of... Just,
I'd love
you know,
to believe that. I really would.
I wouldn't want to be that guy that's clinging on to something that was so tenuous in the first place.
Boise. Well, no, you know, Boise turns up to conventions and stuff, and it's like, come on, Boise. Like, it was funny a couple of years ago or whatever, but, you know... Move on, for Christ's sake. Just do something else. Jeez. We're sick of you, Boise.
You got a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you see those guys who were in Star Wars, like you said, like that, and I don't see that as, like, is that great? Is it like, yeah, here's a list of the films I was in. It's like, wow, that was like 30 years ago, those movies. What have you done since? Oh, I did some voiceover work on a local radio station advert for a curry house in Chester. Yeah.
I did like an R&B album.
All the drugs I could afford.
Yeah, I know. It's
the way it goes.
You don't need to worry about that too much. Holy crap. Well, anyway, it's been like 3 weeks, okay, since we went.
Been longer than that, buddy.
Or more.
Yeah
it's been
and
a while.
So there must be so much to talk about, guys. Like, honestly, like, who wants to start? What have you been doing in your lives? Go on, let's hear it. I'm excited to listen.
Well,
go on, Sips, you start.
I got a couple of new computer games. Been playing those.
Oh, for crying out loud. Sure.
What about you, PFLAX?
Yeah, got a few new computer games. Similarly, been playing those.
Just, yeah.
It's been that kind of day, that kind of month.
Well, first of
it's been that kind of year, man. Games.
I know that PFLAX, you went to Malta to play poker.
Oh, I did.
This is an exciting story. Fill us in.
That does sound like crazy.
Fill in the cracks. Fill in my crack.
Okay, I'll fill. Getting ready to fill your crack with some hot poker story action.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to poker in your crack. Here we go.
Sweet.
So I did a tournament about, I guess it was about 4 months ago in London for a betting website called Unibet. And they were putting together an esports sort of poker sit-down tournament. So it's like you just sit down. It's like 9 of you or 8 of you. You don't have to pay any money to enter. And they stream it on the internet, and if you come first, you win £5,000. If you come second, you win £3,000. So I came second, so I was like, fucking hell.
Whoa.
3,000 quid for playing a bit of poker, no problem. So I was very happy
with
that.
So I watched it, right? Yeah. I watched the whole thing on stream, because you tweeted it out, and I just happened to like have it on, and then I was like quite interested, so I stayed and watched it like in the background. And it was good fun. You know, I honestly didn't know any... I know quite a lot of esports people. I didn't know any of the people around the table at all.
Right.
And the person who came first was actually not even an esports person. She was like a pro poker player, but I think they just added her because they wanted a girl.
No.
Is that right?
No. She's sponsored by Unibet. So they had her there because she does stream games on the internet. So she's also a streamer.
Right.
And there's a guy there called Sam who's also a poker pro.
What qualifies as a streamer? Because, I mean, you're barely a streamer anyway, right? But these people, how much audience do they have to have in order to have a stream, be a streamer?
Brutal.
What?
Don't hold back, Lewis. Jeez.
I stream it like every day, dude.
Fucking Pyrian streams more than all of us combined.
Any scrub could stream every day. What kind of audience do you have to
Pyrian,
have to
if
qualify?
You just left right now, I
I'm going back
you.
To Malta. Fuck this.
I'm joking. You're a proper streamer, but the rest
Don't
of them, I had never
out
heard
of this abuse, sir.
You know what you did.
Do they have bigger audiences than you?
I don't know. Some of them do. Some of them don't, I guess. But yeah, I mean, some of them.
I mean,
are...
could any old random scrub apply and say, oh, yeah, I'm a pro streamer.
No,
I stream every day.
No.
You got to be good at poker.
Because they're streaming a big game. Like maybe they're streaming CSGO or Hearthstone or whatever. Some of them are very big streamers. Like Wreckful was one of them. He's a really big streamer. Like he makes a lot of money.
Oh, he's huge.
Yeah.
But was he at the actual?
Yeah, the first one for the Malta one, he wasn't there. But as far as I understand,
Wreckful does play like poker online and stuff a lot while streaming.
Right,
like he'll have Hearthstone open in a half window and then some fucking poker game open in the other.
Right.
And that's like his part of his thing, sort of thing. Like he's mad into like card games and stuff.
Right. So I mean, within their respective fields, I think these guys are all pretty well known. I mean, you know, there's CS:GO or Hearthstone or whatever, or World of Warcraft or whatever. So, I mean, they wouldn't have got invited over there if the Unibet guys didn't think there was some value in it. They're not going to pick someone with like 10 viewers, are they? So I think that it was like a combination of people. So I went out to Malta because they said, we're doing it again, this time in Malta, would you like to come? And I was like, yeah, sure. So flew out there. Malta is not what I expected at all. It's really kind of a weird place. It's like very run down. The hotel was lovely, but outside the hotel, it was just all You know when you go somewhere like on holiday and it's just all construction sites and none of them look safe or like any construction is going on? It just looks like a bunch of guys standing around smashing concrete and replacing it with more concrete. Like there's no...
This used to be just a big mound of dead bodies, but we've had to remove them and we left all of our tools and stuff here.
Now it's just afterwards. A mound. Yeah.
now it's just some rubble.
We got the dead bodies.
Some couple of stains.
It was like sad. Like you come around a corner and you think maybe it's going to be some like historic harbor and it's just crappy concrete buildings and awful chain link fences. And it was all bars and seedy bars. There was this one corner we came to around the corner from the hotel. This is on the way to dinner. And there were six strip clubs within like visual range of that corner.
Whoa.
And there were just tons of them.
What hotel is that? Let me get a pen.
Yeah, you get a pen. I'll send you the address off, you know, off stream. You don't want to know that you're going there when you check in as Mr. Smith or whatever.
Mr. Smythe, yeah. It's me. Yeah. Where's the strip clubs at? What time are they open till?
You literally can't miss them, sir. Just head out of the hotel in any direction, you'll bump into
Fantastic.
One.
Fantastic.
And yeah, it was kind of sad. It's just like bars and loads of... When we came back at nighttime... The bars were rammed with these drunken Brits and they were all like covered in blood because they'd fallen down the awkward steps and pavement. And I guess they'd been fighting and everything. I was like, man, this place sure is kind of a 1830 resort. Like that was what it came across as to me.
Maybe that's what it was. And they just like fell out of favor and they just haven't touched it since sort of thing.
It's yeah,
just,
like, I think
locked in the past. You know, on the topic of strip clubs, I used to work at this place and we had clients that came in. Well, every day sort of thing. And, you know, I used to have to like speak to them and find out what kind of stuff they wanted or whatever. And we had this one guy who's like, you know, he'd come in, he'd be like, oh, you know, like he would talk about like his family from time to time and stuff. And you just sort of like, you know, from working alongside him and, you know, taking his requirements and shit like that, you just sort of get to know these people, like, superficially, right? But, you know, like, bits and pieces about them and you form some sort of opinion about them based on that kind of stuff. So he was just, like, seemed like a really sort of straight family guy, you know, like, didn't seem like the kind of guy that would really go out and, like, drink a lot or do anything other than, you know, fucking mow his lawn on the weekend and spend time with his kids and... Just shit like that, right? He came in one time and I was like, oh, you know, I've got to go to fucking, I think it was like Birmingham or something. I had to go there for work for like 2 days the week after. So we were just chatting and I said, oh, you know, I got to go to Birmingham or whatever. He's like, oh, let me give you an address to like the best strip club I've ever been to. I was, what? Really? Like, and it was really fucking awkward because he was like, oh yeah, like every time I go, like, you know, if I go away for work or whatever, I go in there and, oh man, we spend so much money there, but oh, it's worth it. It's so fun and everything. I was like, whoa, like my fucking world was like upside down. Cause like I had this guy pegged as just like, you know, like I assume that maybe he just like went to church and stuff. And maybe he does.
Right.
And he just likes to go to a strip club anyway, but it's weird, right? Because it's a weird thing to say to somebody that you don't really know super well. I don't know how I feel about going to a strip club. Like I'll joke about it, but like, it's kind of embarrassing going to a strip club, isn't it? Like,
especially on your own. Yeah, Jesus.
Well, yeah, like totally by myself. Like I wasn't traveling with anybody for this work trip. So like just turn up and like, hey, ladies, it's me. Just on my own. fucking got money to burn. Like,
you get in there at opening time when there's like no one else in there.
Yeah, you guys do a buffet here? I'm really hungry. It's like fucking, it's just such a fucking weird thing. Like I couldn't really believe it. And then I don't think I ever looked at the guy the same again. Like, I just thought he was a bit of a fucking deviant after that. Like, I mean,
that's how he keeps his regular flow going is, you know, he's chill. He does his lawn. He does his DIY.
Yeah.
He's nice to his wife and kids. And then when he goes away for business, he's like, right, it's me time. Let's get to that fucking
just
strip club.
Just gotta have a big blowout with prostitutes or I'm gonna be so fucking angry.
I think strip clubs are certainly, they feel like a relic of the past in a way. They feel like this kind of like American film thing, like seedy kind of go out to, like, you know, you're staying in a motel kind of, I don't know, just kind of a thing where bad stuff happens in CSI or whatever, right?
Right.
And I don't know, at the same time, right, I feel like people, right, like this guy, maybe they have to balance being all church going and good and family, like super good,
yeah,
all the time with just letting go and going crazy, yeah, like when they can get away.
Yeah.
Also,
and maybe he just like slipped some one time and he just, you know, let you know about this. Maybe he just, I don't know, maybe he just wanted to test you, Sips, and see if you were like, you know, into like it secretly and you could have been like his kind of strip club buddy. Maybe he was looking for a guy to go.
Yeah, I could have joined his little clan of like strip club goers or whatever.
Can you imagine that little group of what seemingly harmless like accountants and middle-aged dudes?
Pocket
and then they're
protectors
like, fuck
and
yeah,
everything.
Strip club boys, yeah. Making
you
it rain.
See the tits on that, woo! I don't understand what that is. You go to a thing with a group of guys and what you just all like sit there with like a bunch of guys sit around with erections in their trousers. Like, what is that?
Have you ever been to a strip club?
Have you ever been to one, Lewis? No.
Never. Okay.
Have
never
you been to one, Sips?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Okay.
I went like, the first time we ever went was my friend's birthday. He just turned 18, okay?
Right.
And then so we went across the river because where I grew up, you got Ontario, and in Ottawa is very close to the province of Quebec. It's like right across the river.
Right.
And their age laws and everything are different over there. So we could go there a year early if we felt like driving there to get alcohol and go to the casino,
nice,
go to strip clubs and stuff without needing fake ID and stuff, right? So
right.
It's my friend's birthday, just turned 18. We skipped school. We drove to Quebec and we went to a strip club that had a lunch buffet and it was fucking awkward, but kind of fun, I guess. We got pretty drunk like in the afternoon,
right,
which was you know, a pretty funny thing to do when you're 18, I guess, and looked at naked ladies and it was really weird, but you know, one of those fucking shaping moments of your life, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm here talking to you guys about it and I feel pretty good about the whole thing, so there you go.
I've probably been to about 10 to 12 visits to strip clubs over my life, so I've been to quite a few. I've been to ones abroad, I've been to ones in the UK. They're very, every single one of them is completely different. So you think there's like a familiar vibe to a strip club, but every single one is very different. Like the ones in Bournemouth are extremely expensive. The girls are gorgeous, but they're very kind of standoffish. Whereas if you go up north, they're a lot cheaper and the girls are a lot more friendly, right? And if you go abroad, they detest you because you're like the typical English tourist.
Yeah.
But they're also cheap. So it's weird. Some of them have got like a nice vibe and some of them are really filthy and horrendous and you just don't want to be there. And some of them, sure, they do a buffet. I don't know who eats in a strip club. I can't think of anything.
I didn't die. It was fine. But like at the same time, I wouldn't want to see whoever was cooking the food either.
Yeah.
Unless it was a
stripper.
They were
probably really hot.
Totally nude.
Like a stripper, yeah, like a semi-naked.
Just like, I've got some extra canola oil and just, you know, sprinkles it.
I feel like
if
they had an actual kitchen and you could see the chefs and they were all naked,
yeah,
and you could
I'd
sit
feel
up
good about
at
that.
The well they cooked, there you go. Yeah. You could just get someone naked to cook your dinner.
I think it would be pretty dangerous to like cook food like naked though. You know, it's like if you've ever fried, like had a fry up when you weren't wearing much.
Just singe your muff. Oh god.
Didn't I tell you a story about this? So fucking I was cooking breakfast one time in my old student flat. I obviously like wearing my big woolly dressing gown.
Obviously.
That was all. Because I come out of the shower with this big woolly dressing gown slash towel thing.
When you
on.
Said big, I was wondering for a second there. I'm already turned on as it
and
is.
And the fucking I was cooking this thing on the hob and the flames caught my sleeve, of the dressing gown.
It burned
and it was
my
just,
muff right
the
off.
The whole thing.
By proxy.
The
it was
whole
terrible.
Thing went up.
It's the pilling, isn't it? It's like the pilling on the...
I was just suddenly on fire. So I slipped it off my shoulders and just dropped it to the floor. And then I was just completely naked, but I didn't have an alternative. And so I was there, like, you know, with all of my flatmates, three of whom were girls, just stood there completely naked in the kitchen. I had to, like, run through... like screaming like a girl to get some clothes on.
Man, that would be a great name for a sitcom, wouldn't it?
What?
Suddenly on fire.
Holy shit.
And every episode could be a different story. Somebody catching fire. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Tough to find a laugh in there, though, isn't it? people literally catching fire. Oh, he's on fire again. Help me! Help me! Oh, my eyes! Hey!
Some horns and clown music in the background. Yeah. Makes anything funny. Be fine.
Oh, God. I remember that very well. It was good times. So, yeah, I was hanging out, actually, at Alex's wedding, because Alex, our editor, got married to his longtime girlfriend, and it was a really nice wedding. It was at the Arnos Vale Cemetery, and I overheard these guys talking to Tom Clark from The Office, and I recognised their voices, right? And I was like, oh, my God, I really recognise his voices. And I realised it was because I'd been playing Dota with these guys who were Alex's friends for a long time. But I'd never met them in real life. And so I went up to them, and they were all... Well, there's two brothers and their friend, okay? And they're all over 6 foot, very well-groomed, quite muscly, you know, wearing nice watches, you know, proper kind of, like, real 35-year-old men who run companies, yeah. Wow. Right? Almost like they looked... Because they were wearing suits for this wedding, they looked super smart as well. They just looked like three CEOs. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they were talking to Tom about like Bristleback and like the Dota games they've been playing with him and like, oh, you know, you did this thing to me. And I was like, oh, hey, you know, and they were like, oh my God, I recognize your voice. And so we talked for a bit. Anyway, it was really strange because we talked for the whole night about the nerdiest games. So they started off playing Ultima Online and played like 5 years of WoW
Ultima?
And now play Dota all the time.
Ultima. Well, Ultima.
Do you have to fucking pronounce it that way?
Ultima.
Thank you.
Ultima Thank Online. You. I've always pronounced it that. Just suck it up.
Ultima.
Right? And so we went to the pub and we're drinking all night and chatting with Tom and it was a great time. It was really crazy. And it got to like 2:30 a.m. and they were like, oh, we got work tomorrow. We better go home. And so they all said, oh, should we go to the strip club before we go home? And they were like, oh, yeah, sure. And so they were like, okay, cool, yeah. It was this, I was like, do you go to, they're like, oh, we go to strip clubs in every town. We know. If you ever need to know how good a strip club is, we know strip clubs in every town. And these guys were just, they were everything.
That's how
they
you get like, ahead in business, Lewis.
That is. That's where all the big meetings take place.
They, strip clubs, Dota, I don't understand how they do it, everything. What? I didn't get it. Like, because normally it's like one end of the spectrum or another, right? These were the kind of guys that I thought might play a bit of FIFA.
Yeah.
Okay. At lunchtime. But no, they were like full mega nerds.
Well, those are the most likely people that go to a strip club too, right? If like stereotypes and stuff, you know, like big jocks just want to like ogle at girls and play FIFA.
You know what? I think a lot of it is like whenever I've been, it's always been with a big group of the lads. If we've gone for an away match, like if we've gone for or someone stag do or something like that. But there was a strip club that we used to go to. When we go to a gig up in King's Cross, we go to the Scala up there, and me and my couple of mates would go to this place called the Flying Scotsman, right? Which was a pub in King's Cross. It was a pub that also had a very small stage at the back. And I mean, the stage was tiny. It was like
nice.
Tiny, tiny little triangular stage. And a girl would come around with a pint glass, and you had to put a quid in the pint glass. Anything less than a quid, and they'd sort of give you a load of shit. So to be on the safe side, we'd always put two quid in, right? Just so they didn't get abusive.
Right.
So
right.
Most of the girls...
You got to tip them.
But yeah.
You can't shove pound coins down somebody's underpants either.
No, you need a glass. And I thought that was sensible. I was pleased with that. And obviously in the States, you all have dollar bills, you know. But here, it's a quid, right? You can't throw a quid at someone on
Can
stage.
Can you imagine
someone's
like,
get
bulging
hurt.
Like G-string full of pound coins? How unattractive
is that? A big wad of pound coins? Or are you happy to see me? Baby.
It'd be like when you go to the beach and get sand caught in your swimming trunks. They sort of hang down like you pooped yourself. That's what it would look like.
Oh my God. Yes.
So they go around, and most of them, I'll be honest with you, most of them are pretty rough. But there was this one girl who was really, really, really good looking. And most of the guys there were literally waiting for her to come on before they went on somewhere else. Like it was her, you know, she'd come on at about 8 o'clock or whatever. We're in the pub. It's like a really spit and sawdust place. There's no windows. It's all boarded up, so you can't see the girls.
See, all the other men are such regulars, right? That they all know that, you know, what Melinda comes on at like 8,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then they go off and see Shirley at the other pub. Yeah. You know, they know the place so fucking well,
right.
yeah. that they're like So they're there every day. So they're the fucking
they knew it.
Guys on the street working at the coal face
exactly.
of the strip club.
The coal face yeah. of the strip industry.
That's right.
Nice.
So we're in there waiting for the gig, and we're having a couple of pints, and this song comes on, Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime, and all the guys in the pub, they're all about our age or slightly older, so this is like their jam, right? You know, we all love this song, everybody's like singing along to it and everything, which is kind of a weird scene. We're all singing along, enjoying the music, and then they stop the music halfway through for the girl to come on and strip, and everybody starts booing because they've stopped once in a lifetime.
Oh my God.
So she comes out on stage to all these boos and she's like, what the fuck is going on?
Just crying.
So we're all just sort of arms folded, staring at her, waiting for her to finish
she's
her
just
dance.
Thinks it's over.
Yeah,
she's no, not attractive
career,
now.
My stripping career is in tatters. They're booing
me. I forgot
me.
To take all the pound coins out of my G-string.
It was so sad.
They can see my shame.
Oh man.
So she comes on, she does a dance. Everyone's like, you know, looking at their watches, waiting for it to finish. She comes around, we all give her a quid, and then the guy puts the music back on and there's a huge cheer. So she must have thought, is my stripping so bad that they'd just rather listen to the in-pub like music than give me my dues as a stripper? I thought it was kind of sad, but I gave her a couple of quid.
I mean, that would be a hard song to strip to as well.
Yeah, I suppose if it was halfway through, she'd have to like bash through it pretty fast.
They have to change the tune to something that's easy to strip to.
Oh, like, yeah, she ain't stripping to Talking
Heads. Take
My Breath
from the Top Gun soundtrack. That's a pretty
exactly,
easy one
that kind of
to.
Shit. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, music to strip to.
Do you have like, because I went to Amsterdam a couple of years ago with my friends, met them there, because they came like to Amsterdam from Canada, so it was like a big deal. For me, not so much of a big deal because Amsterdam's not that far from here sort of thing. And I'd been a couple of times before. So I met them and we went to Amsterdam and we did all the stuff that you end up doing in Amsterdam. We tried to go to the Heineken Museum at like 4 a.m. and it was obviously closed. We spent a lot of time in the red light district and there's strip clubs in the red light district. And I always just thought, what's the point of a strip club in the red light district in Amsterdam? Because like, you can just go next door and pay to have sex with somebody if you really wanted to do that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Maybe you just want to. You want the titillation.
You just want the atmosphere and like
action. Yeah, I mean, I went to.
I always thought it was a bit pointless.
Did you have a look around the red light district like when you were there?
We spent an awful lot of time in the red light district. Yeah,
of course.
I think actually we spent the whole time there just because it's kind of a nice place to walk around and stuff too.
Yeah,
it's like pretty like vibrant and active. And
it's right near Anne Frank's house as well. Like,
yeah,
right near.
You really do get propositioned for Class A drugs.
Yeah,
literally every second. As
yeah,
well.
It's kind
crazy.
Of crazy. I like me and Mads went there and we were like, let's go have a look and see what it's like because you know we were really curious and it really is like an advent calendar of ladies. You sort of, in every window, there's a different lady and they're like beckoning to you and flashing you and stuff. And I was with my wife. So I'm thinking this must work occasionally that the guy just goes, fuck you, bitch, I'm in. I'm going to this gym. Just runs into the brothel.
Maybe, yeah.
Leaves his wife on the side.
It's weird because they have like these big theaters with like a live sex show that you can go in and watch. And so we turned up to one and like, cause you do a lot of drinking when you're there too. And
of course,
and some, and whatever. And so we turn up to this place and there's this tour bus and there's like families that like tons of Japanese people piling out of this tour bus, going to a live sex show together. Like,
wow.
All, like it was crazy. There was like old people, young people, like whatever. They were just like so pleased to be there and just so excited that these people were going to have sex for them live on stage to like whatever
I
music.
I have a huge amount of admiration for the people that are able to have sex on stage in front of a bunch of people night after night, never let them down. Like that takes some doing. You got to be a real couple of good fuckers to do that.
You got to be a good fucker. Yeah, that's,
you gotta
that's
be.
True. Yeah.
You got.
Do you have any like?
Honestly,
you've been to a lot of strip clubs and stuff, Pure and Flax.
Yeah,
and you've seen a lot of people strip and possibly have sex on stage and stuff. Do you have like any? Because most of this is done to music, right? So like, for me, if I ever hear Uptown Girl by Billy Joel, I cannot from my mind erase a woman stripping with the aid of a banana. Every time, like without fail, it doesn't matter where I am. Like if they play Uptown Girl at a funeral, I'm sitting there thinking about a girl stripping using a banana. And like it's kind of uncomfortable, but like I'm ruined in that sense. Like, do you have any similar music that like has tainted or sticks out like
no,
in your
the,
mind?
I mean, other than that, the Talking Heads song, that was what stuck in my head was the disappointment on the stripper's face when
so now every
when
time
we
you
wanted
hear
the music. I hear it and I think of her sad face.
Oh my God.
By the way, the pub I was talking about, the Flying Scotsman, has a Twitter account.
Okay.
This is what it says. Striptease pub, titty bar, open Monday to Saturday. Titty bar.
Nice.
That is how old-fashioned this place is. It's called, here are their tweets. 12, Vicky. 2, Carolina. 3, Jessica. 4, Ola. 5, Rose. And then it just says, on the 5th of October, we're closed for refurbishment until further notice. They're donezo.
Oh, my God.
What are those numbers? Holy what shit. Are they referring to?
What time those is girls like are on? Ranking 12 of... o'clock, Vicky.
Oh,
we could have
five?
Had the podcast proudly sponsored by the Flying Scotsman.
Is this PM?
Maybe not now.
Yeah, no, it closes at 11. So, yeah, this is PM. So if you want to go for a bit of a midday strip, Fern, on the 3rd of October, she was there at 11, Lulu, getting her kit off.
Oh,
11 a.m.
Yeah,
she's a proactive woman.
It's almost 11 a.m. Right now. Just think, in 20 minutes' time, she's going to be up there doing her thing, if it's open.
She got to make those quids.
If the refurbishment went through, we don't know. I mean, it could be gone and lost forever, but it may come back, and it may be better than ever.
I honestly, you know, when you see a pub close for refurbishment, I think, generally speaking, what happens is they think they've got the money for it,
well,
and then they realize that they don't, and they're just like, well, the place is half done, we're fucked, and that's it.
I mean, with a lot of these places, like, closed for refurbishment means that, like, they're no longer able to launder drug money through it, so they just closed it, and they've sold the property, and then they'll knock it down and, you know, build a coffee shop there, gentrify the area, and... then they'll have to move their money laundering scheme elsewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what like the new popular way to launder money is, but maybe pubs is like an old thing now.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe we should open a strip club.
Makes you think. Yeah, maybe we should actually.
There was one in Twickenham. It closed down. The piano bar. It closed down.
Oh.
People complained. Even though it was the most genteel strip bar I'd ever been in, it was kind of old-fashioned, actually.
I could apply for a license to convert my garage that I use as a studio right now into a strip club.
I'm sure your wife will be on board.
There's
with
none, no strip clubs in Jersey, so it would be the first of its kind.
Then you just need a little triangle, right?
Yeah.
And then we need to hire some men to dance and strip. It's a lot less hassle.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want
I always thought
there's a lot less.
The rugby crowd would be the best crowd to have a strip club. Living in Twickenham, a strip club in Twickenham would be... I mean, on match days, you'd do a fortune.
Yeah.
But I think the council is against it.
No, I'm saying
it.
We do a male strip club, so it's like men stripping.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
we could
for
do
the
that.
Rugby crowd.
Do you think women go for that like, as much as men go for it sort of thing? Like,
they do as a group.
As a group, yeah. Like on a hen party,
I think,
or whatever.
Yeah. As like a hen night.
Yeah.
They go fucking mental for it, by the way. They go absolutely
They do.
Mad.
They have like those dick-shaped straws and stuff like that. And
they'll suck a guy's dick.
Nice.
I've seen it, like these hen nights. I'm not even kidding. The stripper will go out there, you know, they're generally pretty well endowed. The guys are in good shape. And the hen has to suck the guy's dick. I'm not even kidding. This is things that happen when women go on hen nights. They go fucking nuts.
Wow.
You are kidding me.
I ain't kidding you, homeboy.
This isn't... Well, I know they're much more touchy than men are in general because they just... But I didn't know they were like full on...
Oh, they'll go nuts.
That kind of crazy level.
They will take it to the next level. They really will.
We're in the wrong industry, guys.
Talking about what you want to do after, you know, in 5 years' time... You know, just think. Yeah. You've got the qualifications.
Old man, I could strip for old ladies.
I want to suck a guy's dick in 5 years' time. That's what I want to do.
Let's make that dream happen.
Let's just be a just total free-for-all strip club. Just men stripping, women stripping, hen nights, bring them in. Who knows? Who knows what they're going to get?
Yeah, who knows?
You know,
yeah.
Out on stage today, could be anything.
Could be anyone.
Could be P-Flex on stage or, yeah, you know.
I was thinking what
like
my market
hole.
Would be. And if I go to old people's homes, to them, I'm like young. I'm like a hot young guy compared to some 80-year-old woman, right? So if I go out there, she'd be like, wow, he doesn't even need a stick to walk.
Oh my God.
No colostomy bag. You know, this guy's a winner.
Pops her teeth out.
Yeah. She's like,
gets on with it. Let's move on to something else,
right.
For God's sakes. So,
what,
Sips, 35 you've had your
minutes of talking
done?
About strip clubs is too much for you? I mean, still much, much more.
A
cover.
Little bit.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay. So, yeah, well, you went on holiday, didn't you? Do you want to talk about that, how it was, how you had
it
a
was
good,
good
time?
It was just a nice, nice, wholesome family vacation for a week. We went to Center Parcs in the UK. It was really nice. It was a nice break. We went to the one in Longleat near the Safari Park.
Okay.
We went to the Safari Park as
in
well.
In London.
In a rented car. Didn't go through the monkey thing because they, like, destroy your car or whatever. And we got lost in Bristol. We flew out of Bristol and we got lost in Bristol because it's not very well signed. And we almost missed our flight on the way back.
Jeez.
Because we went to Toys R Us for like 5 hours. So that was cool,
that was
too.
The highlight of your holiday.
Yeah, it was pretty
funny
good.
How that
it was one of those situations where like a second out of place, if we'd done anything even remotely different, like to the magnitude of a second, we would not have gotten home until like Sunday instead of Friday or whatever, because of the way the flights are and stuff. So it was like,
whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I was sitting on the plane like drenched in sweat because I had to run up a hill with like 20,000 fucking suitcases to get to the check-in desk before it closed. And then we were going through like security and they were like scanning the baby's milk and they like patted down my son who's 4 years old, like, because he beeped when he went through the thing, like real fucking jobs worth. And then, but yeah, we managed to somehow make it onto the plane and it was crazy. I was just sitting there thinking, holy shit, like this should not have happened. So I think like
the youngest terrorist ever.
Yeah, yeah.
They literally patted down your 4-year-old son.
So,
yeah. Oh my God.
I think that's like all of my that's karma hilarious. Bank is like depleted now. Like I have to like restore it now because I pretty much used it all up just to get onto that fucking airplane.
We almost missed the fucking plane on the way back to Jersey as well, didn't we, actually? Because we were stuck in Bristol traffic for like an hour.
Yeah.
It takes like an hour to get to fucking Bristol Airport
it's
anyway,
nuts.
Which is ridiculous,
it's nuts.
Really.
It's like a dirt fucking road, like from the city to the airport that every car in the world needs to be on at that time. So it's like impossible.
God.
Actually, the airline's been bought out as well, hasn't it now? It used to be Blue Islands, but it's been sold to like a big thing. Yeah. And they've changed all the timings.
Yeah, they sold out big time. Fucking, yeah. It's the start of the end.
Can't believe
probably
it.
Not going to be a direct flight to Bristol anymore. I'll probably have to like fly to fucking Amsterdam first and
get a boat.
Yeah, get a
boat.
We'll just
yacht over. We'll use my yacht.
Oh, shit. Yeah, why didn't we think of that in the first place? You've got that yacht just sitting there doing nothing. You could convert that into a
strip
club.
With that full crew, all the strippers on there.
Yeah, you wouldn't even need a license or anything. Just get a stage and a pole set up on the stern.
International waters. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a pirate radio station.
That's right.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Pump up the volume.
That's what that is actually what they used to do, isn't it? They used to park up like casino ships and stuff on outside the Oh, it's a really good idea, Sips.
Yeah.
Man, I'll start adding. I mean my yacht is only about 6 foot long, actually. It's not really
Do you actually have a boat?
It's a pedalo.
Okay.
No. A boat is a hole in the water that you pour money into.
Nice.
Someone smarter than me said that.
Come on. If I had a lot of money.
Yeah, apparently
I'd
like the two best days of your boat are when you buy your boat and when you sell your boat.
Wow.
That's what they say about jail too. You only spend like there's only, you only spend
the two best days of jail
are when you first and the last
go to jail.
Go out, yeah, that's it. Everything that happens in between stays in jail. You never talk about it because it's terrible.
God, that's one of my greatest fears. That getting
you ever been to jail?
Yeah.
Have you ever been in trouble?
P-Flex, have you been
got
to jail?
Record? P-Flex?
No, I've never been arrested, never been in jail. Touch wood. It's my greatest fear is going to jail, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, man.
Sad to say, a couple of times I've been, and it's not nice.
Well, getting arrested in America and Canada is fucking easy. Like, loads of Americans have been arrested because you get arrested for anything.
Yeah, and three strikes and you're out, too, in America. So, like, if you get arrested three times for shoplifting, death row, motherfucker, you're dead. That's it.
I
shouldn't
laugh. As soon as a policeman says anything to me, I become like the most scared, stupid guy ever. Like,
wait,
you know,
even if it's a
like,
woman police, well, if it's a police woman, do you feel the same?
Yeah.
I don't take them seriously. I know that's like not a nice thing to say.
You
but
piece of shit. What's wrong with you?
I know. I mean, I do. I'm just joking. But like, I don't know. It's weird though. I don't feel as intimidated by them as I do big fucking
I do.
Brick
I think they're like
headmistress
or something.
Really?
I'm terrified of them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Although, what happened at Comic-Con was that there was like this policewoman banging on our door of the private room, okay? Yeah. And I opened up and said to her, are you the real police? Because obviously we're at Comic-Con full of
we
people.
We didn't order a stripper.
That's a tasing, right? That is a tasing right there.
I'm dead. I'm dead. Oh, sorry. That's really bad jokes. I apologize. Even I know that those are terrible jokes. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. But yeah, so I didn't really, I wasn't nervous about that. that, but normally I am. I'm terrified. I'm a little bit scared because, you know, the office that we have, right? There's a thing happening. I don't really want to talk about this, but I will do because it doesn't matter. Like, there's a thing on Twitch where people get swatted in America.
Yeah.
Seen it happen over here very often.
It happened to Kutra and the creatures, you know, like Uber, Haxanova, and all those guys.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
That's got to be terrifying.
They were streaming, and like the SWAT team had their like fucking, you know, when they hold your head down on the floor with their foot and stuff and point a gun at you and everything.
Oh my God.
It was really bad. Yeah, really bad.
But it's scary because they could like shoot your dog and stuff. Yeah, they're like scary, scary stuff anyway, right? That's one of our fears.
That's why we have a strict no dog policy at Yogg Towers. We don't want a dog to accidentally get shot by the SWAT team.
Like, we had the police lady come around and I was like instantly super, super like nervous and scared around her that she was just going to find something to arrest us for, you know. Because one of the things we have got
the minute
here in
you
the
see
office,
her, Shin, what have you done?
Hide the shit! It's actually Duncan. Because, like, so many, we've got so many in Smith as well. They've got so many airsoft guns.
Yeah.
They've all got their, like,
oh, shit,
there's
yeah.
a sniper rifle shotgun. And they just walk around the office with them. They're not, you know, they look like an actual gun. And so the problem, the danger, is that, you know, if we did get swatted, we would have, like, a load of airsoft guns around.
And all of those replica medieval weapons, too, like the swords and stuff.
Exactly.
They look real.
I'm not too worried about those, actually. Like Frostmourne. I'm not sure they're going to, like, be angry.
That's the one true Frostborn
fantasy sword.
Open fire.
So we've had to like lock them all in this room, which Duncan's not too pleased about, but I think it's for the best.
That's crazy.
Overall.
Hey, listen, before we start talking about anything else,
go on.
I just want to apologize. There's a man working on my roof. My dad pad.
Okay.
Garage roof is being fixed, and there's a guy up there right now. You could probably hear him from time to time banging away and stuff. But yeah, so if you hear like weird...
I thought you were supposed to be fixing your roof, not just banging away at your strip club.
Oh, I heard a boom. I heard a boom.
Yeah, did you hear that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing up there, but yeah. It's all good, I hope, anyway. He hasn't fallen through or anything, so...
That's a good thing.
But yeah, that is happening, so I apologize for
the
noise.
So it's not a new roof. Why is the roof needed to be fixed?
The roof needed to be fixed because basically the roof on this garage has not been touched since the 1960s. And it was it's like a Rubberoid roof. You know, like Rubberoid, that fucking weird felty...
Rubberoid roof, the famous baseball player.
That weird like felty sort of fucking rubbery shit that they used to put on roofs like way back in the day. That like melts a bit in the sun and stinks a bit, and they like stuck it down to the building with tar and all that kind of stuff.
What
anyway.
The fuck are you talking about?
I don't
they
know.
Make it out of like mottle and daub or whatever. They
no,
didn't, like,
so like the new thing now is like fiberglass, right? And it's like this. It's this coating that you sort of paint over like a wood finish or whatever, and it's like super duper fucking waterproof and it doesn't melt in the sun, and it's got all these benefits. It's got like a good like the stuff that's going on there now has got like a 20-year warranty and stuff, so it's like really good. But
this is dad shit, Lewis. You got to get into
this. It's like the depths of dad shit. Yeah, it's been like 3 days of this. Anyway, the finish stinks too. It's like resin based, so it really fucking stinks. And I'm sitting in here in this enclosed space, and like I don't know if I'm gonna die in the next couple of minutes or not because it's
you'd be fine.
Really overwhelming. Like
open
it
up the door.
Fucking stinks.
Get the
well,
door
I can't. It's too noisy out there. The door has to stay closed.
Bro, who cares? We can't hear anything.
You'll
we
hear
don't mind.
Traffic. You'll
I'd
hear
rather,
people
I'd
yelling
rather you
at
didn't
each
just,
other.
Just like pass out halfway through. I had to call your wife and be like, Sips is suffocating from paint resin fumes in the garage.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Let him out.
Here's what
bad.
You do.
Oh,
light a candle in there and it'll burn away some of the fumes and stuff.
Oh,
and
that's a great idea.
And most of the oxygen.
Yeah.
No, you'll be fine.
That's right.
I don't want to singe my muff though. Like,
yeah,
will it be
mind
safe?
Your muff. But as long as you keep the...
Careful if you're wearing your dressing gown.
Yeah, if you're wearing a really big dressing gown. Careful you don't light yourself on fire.
Like. I don't know what you're wearing, but I do know that it's usually slippers.
Would you be
stuff,
surprised?
Right?
You know what my daughter has started doing recently? Like she... You know, like when a baby learns to like grab things and grip them, but they don't understand their own strength at all and they don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So she grabs my arm hair and pulls really fucking hard, and my chest hair too. Oh my God. Like I've just got like, it looks like I've been attacked by like a cat or something. Cause she's got like,
listen
baby
to you
nails and stuff.
With all your fucking Jesus. Chest hair. Some of us aren't so lucky to have such a beautiful, like, toupee of chest hair, are they? You're like a gorilla.
You get it.
You should be thanking.
Well, you'll get it eventually. Puberty comes and
I've been eating my crusts.
Your body goes from like a 12-year-old boy's body to like a real man's body, and you'll get hair in places you never thought possible before. So
it's true. I got hair all over
the fucking place. As soon as you have
me
a baby.
Too. It's like a fucking jungle under these clothes. Holy shit.
Luckily, Mrs. F doesn't
You're
mind.
Like a gorilla.
She doesn't mind. She likes the hairy
man. I don't know
man.
Like how women generally feel about hairy men.
I think they like it in certain places, like hairy chest. That's legit. They haven't got a hairy chest. You know,
what is it with men though? Like hair just wants to grow everywhere. Like I got fucking hair in my ears and everything
now.
Like
hair
what the fuck?
That's not
Holy
cool.
Shit.
You know, have you ever been to when I had hair? Obviously, Sips, you can relate to this. Being bald now, I never go to the barbers ever. But I did go there one time for a wet shave to see what it was like. And he said to me, it was big Turkish. He goes, you want me to deal with the ear hair? I was like, yeah, sure. So he daubs this flammable liquid on my ear.
Oh my God.
Lights it with a lighter and then hits a wet rag on it real quick before it burns my ear. All the ear hair gone, singed instantly.
Shit.
And then he like dusts it away with a little brush. He was like, bingo.
Oh, that's, I need
so
to
I was
do
like,
that.
Oh shit, that's legit.
That sounds really legit.
So now what I do
actually.
Is I get a lighter and hold it near my ear occasionally, but occasionally I burn my ear a little bit. So it's pros and cons.
Yeah.
No. He did it like, you can't just stick a lighter in your
Can
ear.
Can you do that with nose hair too? Can you just like.
It really hurts. Don't try it.
Okay. Yeah, nose is
don't
really
put a light. Don't light your ear hair on fire. Listen, I think that is legit though, because I think that like hair. I don't know. I don't know if you can get like an ear infection, for example, if you like trim all your ear hair and just leave all the hairs in there. You know.
Don't
clean them out properly.
What's the point though? Like, because I thought that your protective like thing in your ears was wax, right? Wax.
Oh yeah,
like,
the hair is
the
just
shit.
It's just for looks.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't doing
so,
anything.
So like, it's fine to just get rid of it, right?
Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
Well. Yeah, the body's like, it's pretty much self-cleaning. As long as you don't ever shove stuff in your ears or up your nose. Don't shove like cotton buds. Anyone who's listening to this now, do not shove cotton buds into your ears, for fuck's sake.
It's a huge drain on the NHS as well. Like, they get kids in there every day with like fucking Q-tips shoved up their noses and stuff. And like, you know, there's people.
Just, Q-tips are not for shoving in anything.
No.
Right? And
That's not what they're for.
Stick your dick in the vacuum cleaner.
Never do
kids,
that. No,
right?
It doesn't blow.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Your body's like, it works on its own. With to some extent, like you still have to clean your teeth and stuff, right? There's certain things you have to do.
That's true, yeah.
Right? But stop shoving Q-tips down your dick hole, all right?
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not worth
Use
it.
Use a dart instead. Oh my God. A visual on that.
The old dick dart. You got to get
the old, the old dick
Sid
dart.
Sid Waddell could call that one 180 darts down his dick.
Oh my God. Fuck, the mental image on that is. Lord.
I mean, there are world records and there are world records. If a guy could stick 180 darts down his dick, I would. Norris McWhirter, well played, sir. That's an earned record. Earned.
Jeez. Oh my God. The pain already, like, just imagining. It's very sensitive down there, of course. And, like, even the thought of something hitting you in the dick hole or in the balls is enough to send any man into like a blind panic sort of thing.
That's true.
Shoving 180
Start
darts.
Looking over one each shoulder just in case there's someone creeping up on you with a dart. Any dance players around here? No.
Yeah,
my dick is safe for the time being.
It's like, you can see why like those jock straps are so popular. Like the ones with the cup, you know, like they protect everything.
I have thought that there should be an underpant that comes with a Kevlar protection just built in.
Well, no, you just need to fill it full of pound coins.
Yeah, that's true,
the
actually.
Pound coins
it's like, make a chain mail out of pound coins. It'd be really good.
Yeah, keep your coins in your groins, kids.
That's the motto.
Catchy.
That'll be the title of the podcast this week.
Keep your coins in your groins.
Keep your coins in your groins.
Like it.
It's a good one.
So do you guys... So I went to LA for 2 weeks and I wrote a little bit of a diary kind of as I went through.
Oh, please read us some of this.
So I thought it would be interesting.
Dear diary.
feeling kind of sad today in LA.
So a lot of the stuff which we got up to is kind of on Terps' vlog anyway, yeah. right? So I don't know if you've watched any of them.
I only watched the Hodor one.
Yeah, oh, Hodor.
That wasn't even a part of the flipping trip. That was just unrelated. That was different. So anyway, we went to LA for 2 weeks. It was good. I had a good time. On the first day that I got there, right, I went up, you know, I checked in at a hotel and I went up to my room, but I accidentally left my suitcase in the lobby, okay? Right. And because I was totally out of it. And so Terps, seeing that I'd got in the elevator, thought, oh, I'll just take his suitcase. So Terps went and took the suitcase back up to his room, okay? Now, I realized almost straight away that I'd mislaid my suitcase, right? But I thought I'd left it in the lift, in the elevator. So there were like six elevators in this place, and I couldn't remember which one I'd come up in, right? Because I was just totally out of it. And so I went down any elevator to the lobby, looked around, it wasn't in the lobby, so I thought I must be in one of the elevators. So I stood there in the lobby, like pressing slowly to try and check all the elevators one by one, okay?
But inconspicuously, so that you didn't look like you were some panicking
yeah.
guy.
And so like I was pressing the up button and then like
suitcase,
it would ding,
and, yeah.
people would get out and get in, and then it would go off again.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then I'd like press it again.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was I looked like a weird guy. And anyway, after all this fucking time, after like 20 minutes of worrying about where it's gone and asking everyone, I asked everyone downstairs, I finally fucking texted Duncan and Terps to find out if either of them had like seen it or done anything with it, or whether I'd left it in the Uber or whatever.
Yeah.
And Terps was like, oh yeah, I have it. And I was like, wow, I can't believe it. I can't believe you didn't even tell me. It's not like, it was the worst prank ever.
Yeah.
How do you feel about pranks like that?
Because
that was
and
not
the
a
worst
cool
part
prank.
Of it was when I went up to Terps' room to get my suitcase back. He answered the door in nothing but my big furry housecoat.
The burned up one?
Yeah.
That he got from my suitcase.
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
I'm not a big one on pranks. Don't care for them. I think they're too. It's too low hanging fruit. You know, whoa, tricked you. It's like, well done. You caught me out in a simple way. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about pranks. Like, I like little jokes. You know, like, you know, when somebody says like, hey, is the car here? And you say no, but it's actually here and stuff. Like, I don't mind stuff like that. But I don't know, like. Like, you know, The Game starring Michael Douglas, that's
right.
taking pranks too far.
That's too
like,
far.
That's way too far.
That's too far.
So.
Yeah, like inviting someone to a strip club. It turns out to be like a male
yeah,
strip
yeah.
club.
I mean, he was really fearing for his life legitimately at various points in that movie. And then at the end, it's like, oh, happy birthday. We know you love pranks. So we tried to kill you a million times or whatever. And it's like, it's not funny, guys.
Too far.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Too far.
What happened to the old bucket over the doorway and it's got, you know.
Or dropping the piano
confetti.
From the top of the building.
yeah, dropping yeah. a piano on people. What's wrong with that?
Yeah,
old-fashioned.
Did that ever happen to you?
What?
Did that ever happen to you? Someone, I actually got hit by one of those buckets on top of a door and it really fucking hurt. The bucket fucking was heavy.
Yeah, well,
it fucking
they are.
Heavy
buckets
bucket
are heavy, yeah.
hit me in the head.
They're designed to hold lots of stuff. So, you know, they have to be sturdy and whatever. And if that falls and hits you on the head, then there might be a lawsuit in there somewhere.
Yeah, lawsuit.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Right, so anyway, we went on day two. We obviously went, so we watched the Warcraft movie on day one as well, which was really just, I'm not going to talk about it because it's all in Terps' vlog. But
was it good,
day two
though?
We went to
I need to know because I'm going to go see it tomorrow probably.
It was okay as a Warcraft fan, yeah.
Okay.
If you played Warcraft, you'll,
right,
you'll enjoy it.
Will my wife
it, yeah.
like it? She's not a Warcraft fan.
No, she'll hate it and won't understand any of it. It's total confusion for anyone who doesn't know Warcraft. It's just a bad movie if you don't know Warcraft. So yeah, day two, we went to Universal and did like the tour around, right? And it was similar to what we'd done before, but they've built this big Hogsmeade. So I guess they couldn't get the rights to Diagon Alley, okay, Harry Potter Diagon Alley. So what they did was they bought the rights to Hogsmeade instead, and they built like
a
Hogsmeade.
That reminds me, actually.
Right?
I was in the airport. Sorry to interrupt, but I was in the airport, and I was looking at the children's books, and lo and behold, there was Harry Potter. So if you ever need proof that they are indeed children's books, well, they were
in the children's book section.
So that would signify to me that they are indeed children's books. So.
Sure. Well, anyway, they built this entire place, like this entire Hogsmeade, which honestly, it feels like Diagon Alley now. Because Hogsmeade in the books was kind of this wintry place down the road out of Hogwarts, right? Where Harry Potter and that go for a beer, and Dumbledore's brother lives there. It's not a big deal particularly. It's like got a pub. I think it's supposed to have like a sweet shop, maybe. It's kind of like a crappy little post office-y area, right? You know the sort it's supposed to be. Anyway,
right.
They've turned it into this incredible theme park full of everything, and it's got a branch of everything right there in Hogsmeade. So it's got an Ollivander's. So we went around and we did the thing, right? And it was great. Honestly, like, the best thing, it was basically, you've got to understand, this whole thing was an enormous cash-in, okay? So there was like the Harry Potter sweet shop, and it was full of merch. And every possible kind of merch Harry Potter related you could possibly fucking imagine.
Ugh.
Okay, you name it, there was some merch for it, and you could buy it. There was
fuck.
Like,
do they have
everything.
T-shirts,
luggage straps, bookmarks? What are you talking about? There was t-shirts. No, there were fucking bathrobes and normal robes and fucking jock straps and socks and pants and shoes.
Whoa.
And boots and Wellington boots. There were everything. It was like mugs shaped like a fucking owl, shaped like a dragon. There were fluffy fucking owls. You could buy a broomstick. There were like wax seals. You could like put your fucking family crest. There were quills, like Quidditch fucking like school uniforms, like cuddly fucking snakes, just the weirdest shit, like every possible thing
yeah
you could possibly imagine.
Did they have anything that was like really inappropriate for the average Harry Potter fans, like dildos or anything, like g-strings?
No,
because sometimes
you say
that works,
that,
it's
okay.
Funny, but like, I don't know. Is it appropriate
so,
in that?
Obviously, it was great going around this place with Duncan and Terts, because they both are big Harry Potter fans. And Duncan was just in heaven buying everything, you know, just really into it, getting dressed up and stuff. Shin was kind of just like looking for the, drinking the butter beer, you know, and just looking to leave. And me and Terts were hanging around just like watching, enjoying. It was almost like Duncan was our child, okay? And we were living vicariously through his joy, okay?
My two gay dads.
It was bizarre. So anyway, we fucking went into Ollivander's, which is this one shop, and we watched the sort of ceremony, right, where a guy, a little kid, well, it wasn't a kid, it was like a 15-year-old with a full beard or whatever, comes up and is like, oh, yeah, I like Harry Potter. I would like the wand, please. And the guy, Ollivander, says, oh, and it's this like it's a little theme parky kind of ride jokey thing where all the wands shoot out. I don't know if you've seen Harry Potter, but it's like this whole wand selective thing where you get the anyway, Terps and me were just joking in the background, and we came up with an idea for like a sort of a sketch, almost like a, like, can you imagine, you know, I don't know if you know this, right, but the way it works is that he gives like the person a wand, and they try it out and they wave it around.
Right.
And they always say, oh, you know, this is dragon hair core, and it's like, it's made of oak, and it's like 13 inches, and it's quite willowy, right? And so me and Terps had the idea that instead that Ollivander would just start getting out like dildos, right, and giving them and saying, oh, yes, 13 inches latex, quite floppy, black, hard, you know, like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like he basically start going through all these, it would be like a dildo picking shop.
Right.
Anyway, it was fantastic. We had a great time.
Sweet.
We went through into the back, and you could literally buy a wand themed for every single Harry Potter character. You could buy fucking like every minor character. There's like hundreds of them. It was so weird. I couldn't, it was just such a odd, surreal thing to go through.
God.
How heavily merch heavy it was. It was bizarre, P-Facts. And everyone was buying stuff as like super busy as well. Like there were massive queues for people to spend money. I don't know.
But this is
it
what happens
America.
When you're like a 30-year-old guy and you go to things that are designed for 7-year-olds. That's where your problems
are
arising.
They were not 7-year-olds. The people who buy stuff were all 30-year-old guys.
I know, but they're probably for their kids.
Oh my God.
You know, because like you have to, because like they will not shut up.
They
like,
ain't for their kids.
Yeah, you
they
just
ain't
have to
for their kids. They're just buying it. They
it
want
was
it.
Just it was just odd.
People love to collect
it was
shit.
Odd. We were,
like there's a guy I follow on Twitter. I thought he was like a grown up, and he starts tweeting this little anime figure that he's bought, and he's like, it's like all these series of tweets where he's showing off the outfit and all this stuff. Unfollowed, unfucking followed in a heartbeat.
Oh, come on, follow me again. I won't tweet those anymore, please.
No more anime shit.
I was just excited.
It was an experience. So I feel like with the strip club thing and the Harry Potter thing, I feel like I should be like expanding my mind a little bit, right? I feel like I should be willing to like go to these things.
I think
things
you've
to
got a pretty
out,
expanded
man.
Mind.
Yeah.
You seem pretty open to new stuff.
You got a pretty expansive one, yeah.
I got a pretty expanded
I've
anus.
I never thought of you as closed-minded, Lewis. Never.
No, not once.
Cheers, guys.
Not after that evening we spent.
Whoa.
Anything goes, baby.
Anything. Anything goes.
Whatever happens.
As long as you put £2 coins in the pint glass.
I brought my darts with me and everything.
Jesus Christ.
So I don't know, like going to Universal, going to Warner Brothers, it was really weird to see how like the sausage is made.
When we went to Universal after BlizzCon like 2 years ago, they were still building all that Harry Potter shit. So I guess it's done.
Oh
now.
God, they must have made so much money.
There you go.
Well, I mean, we went on the ride, okay.
Yeah.
The rides at Universal are kind of all simulators, right? Where yeah. you go into a room.
Yeah, you go like the Simpsons one, you sit in the car and it just gyrates around a lot and there's a big screen in front of you.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Honestly, though. It was the Harry Potter one was the queasiest thing I've ever done because you were basically on a simulator that was one of those ones where, you know, the rides where you basically just strap in over your shoulders and it goes up loads into the air and then it just drops you back down, right?
Yeah.
Imagine that, but so you're sat in one of them, but it's in a simulator and you've also somehow got fucking 3D glasses on, okay?
Yeah.
It's like too much. There was too much there to deal with, right? So it was a simulator, a 3D screen.
But the nice thing is you just close your eyes, though.
I came out away from it and it made me queasy so bad that I was just like queasy for like 2 weeks after that. Honestly, I couldn't.
Did you go on the Minions ride? That one's pretty fun.
Fuck the Minions.
I don't.
Oh, man.
Honestly,
you say
Minions,
that now,
seriously.
Flax, but if you went on that ride, you'd be like,
no,
holy shit.
I hate
have a
the
newfound
Minions.
Appreciation for these
I
guys.
Hate the
Duncan
Minions.
loves Minions. Ugh. Oh, shit.
Can
me.
I just say very quickly, this was when the Minions 2 movie came out, and I was in the playground dropping off my kid, and one of the mums there was talking about the Minions movie, and she'd been to see it, and she said, completely straight-faced, it was the funniest movie she'd ever seen.
Wow.
She's a 40-year-old woman, and the funniest movie she's ever seen, and she wouldn't shut up about it, was the fucking Minions movie.
Yeah.
I wanted to just punch her in the face right there. But of course I didn't.
You should have.
No. I just stuck a banana under her foot or whatever the Minions would have done. I don't know. Some stupid shit.
Yeah. I mean, the Minions was another one, kind of like what Lewis is saying about Harry Potter and stuff, where they were originally the comic relief, I guess, in Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And they gained so much traction that they then went on to make an actual Minions movie about the Minions, which I didn't even see
it's,
like
yeah.
my son liked them enough sort of thing, but not enough to like actually want to see the movie or whatever. So that was pretty good, like maybe like dodged a bullet there or whatever. But holy shit, like every fucking toy store you went into leading
constant.
Up to that movie coming out was just like the same as the Harry Potter shit. It was like Minions everything. Like fucking those, like they had those little puck things that turns into a face cloth when you put it in the water with
yep.
like a
stick
minion
a fucking
on it.
Minion on it. Boom.
Holy. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was just anything they could fucking think of that they could make yellow or put some fucking eyes on or goggles or whatever.
I mean, here you go. Look,
I've just Googled
Minions stuff. Let me give you a rundown here, right? Keyrings, mugs, watches, t-shirts, obviously,
yeah.
right? Shoes, bow ties, mobile phone covers.
Yes.
All kinds of clothing you could imagine. A sofa in the shape of a fucking minion, all right? Shoes with the minions on. Slippers.
Mother of God.
What else have we got here? Nail file. A nail file. It's just a nail file with a minion on it. Come on, people.
I need a new one. My anime one is like all worn out. So
Minions high heels. Minions high heels.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Minions golf balls.
Well, I mean, the thing is now, though, I don't know, like, how often you go into toy stores, but, like, new stuff has come out and is obviously better than all of this Minions junk. So
maybe.
All of the bargain bins are filled with all of this fucking Minions shit. You know, like, it's just
of
like...
Of course they are, yeah.
Yours for 10 pence now. Minion dildos and whatever. Like, all the shit that didn't sell. That, like, you because
yeah.
the hype is gone now. The movie's out.
But that's it. That's going to be your landfill
yeah.
for the next 20,000 years. When the people
yeah,
of the future are looking through the garbage, like, what the fuck is this little obnoxious character? It's called a minion, apparently, and the people of ancient Earth were fucking obsessed with them to such a degree that grown-ups to children, the entire span, the entire demographic of planet Earth had to have a fucking minion stamped on some piece of shit that they were going to throw away in 6 months. Oh, wow.
Good. So significant, indeed, we found an audio log of a 40-year-old woman proclaiming that this was the funniest movie she'd ever seen in her whole life.
If only we could see this now in our era without comedy. In the future, they've forgotten comedy in the future, and someone digs up the Minions and they say, wow, the people of ancient Earth really nailed it with this movie. This was, oh, they were so funny back then, where he says Bapple and banana. Oh, so fucking funny.
So, I mean, I don't fucking despise the Minions. I don't love them either. Like, they, to me, they're okay. You know, like they're obnoxious, yeah, but they're not like overly. Like there's definitely worse out there, I would say. Like My Little Pony still fucking going. I think that they're fucking obnoxious as hell. Like, and they're having like a comeback now. You can buy toys of them again and everything.
Is
and
this like, new to you? The My Little Pony rejigger. What do they call it?
It is new to me now. Yeah, because now that we have a daughter, we're sort of like starting to look at girls' toys.
Right, right.
But like we never had to before with my son because right, he would right. just we'd walk into a toy shop and he would just like beeline for fucking Power Rangers.
Of course.
Whatever, you know? So, like, yeah, it is new to me now.
Oh, it's everywhere. But you know what the weird thing is? As far as that show goes, when my kids watch it, it's kind of sweet. And it's not too obnoxious, and I like that. Like, they're watching it. The problem is, you go to the toy shop, and tucked away in the pony aisle is some fucking grown-up who's also buying the pony stuff. Not cool. I don't like that.
Well, I mean, yeah, it does happen.
Well, what are you going to do about that? Holy shit. So I had a good time in LA, and, you know, it was great being hanging out with Duncan and Sheehan and Terps for like a week. It was really cool. I've got a few notes here. So on the last day that we were there, we did one of the things that Duncan was the most excited to do, right, which bizarrely was to go to Target and buy a load of T-shirts that were themed around, I don't know, Iron Man and, you know, right, just stuff. Like, just that you can't seem to... I don't know. It's just a thing that he wanted to do.
I did that with Duncan last time I went to LA with him. We went to like, a pharmacy that sold bacon bowls. Like, it's a bowl made of bacon. You have to put it in, like, the microwave to cook it.
Well, fuck
and
me.
And then you can just put shit in it and then eat the bowl when you're done. It was really weird.
That sounds awful.
But then we went to Target and bought T-shirts because they're cheap as shit. Like, it's
nuts.
They
are
so
cheap.
I've got a couple of anecdotes. Well, not anecdotes, but I've got a couple of things that I've made a note of, which Duncan did or said, right? So first of all, I think this sort of happened because I play a lot of games with Duncan and we hang out in the studio. And if I ever wear Duncan's headphones by accident, I don't know, it's because he's got long hair. Maybe he hasn't had, like, maybe he needs to get a lighter and clean out the hair in his ears. Maybe he's just got
right.
really hairy ears, but he can't hear. Like, I don't know whether it's the years of going to, like, Glastonbury and listening to loud music or just, who knows, right? Maybe he's just not paying attention. I don't know. But he can't hear, okay? And I think this also applies to his sense of taste to some extent.
We pranked him. He ate shit and didn't realize that it was actual shit.
We went to this really fancy burger place, right? And they were like, oh, how do you want your burger cooked? And he was like, well done. And I said, you can't order a burger well done because it'll be just black, right? Burger's default is like,
yeah.
So black, if you order well done.
No, what are you talking about? Like, have you ever seen hamburger, like meat, like uncooked? It's pink as shit, man. Like, it's not well, like anywhere close to well done.
Right,
like,
right. But
I think legitimately, you ask for well done. That's fine.
I think what Lewis is saying is that if a burger is cooked,
well done is
you
basically
should never
barbecue.
Ask for well done.
No.
Well done means black.
Well done literally means it's cooked so that there's no pink anywhere. It's just that grayish, brownish color all throughout. And the outside is like that dark brown with all the crusty black shit.
Well, you don't want pink in your burger, do you?
Fuck yeah, you do, dude. That's the best bit.
Oh, my God.
Of course you do.
Come on.
Yeah. How do you have a steak?
You're a vegetarian,
well,
so.
I don't, but.
Yeah,
like,
rare, motherfucker. Blood. I want.
Do people for real do that? Because that sounds gross as shit.
Of course they do. If you order a steak anything other than medium, you're going to be in fucking trouble, my friend.
Is it like
you can't order a steak well done. It literally means please ruin this piece of meat. That's what you're saying when you're saying well done.
Okay. When I go to a restaurant, I have a steak, I have it rare, and I soak up the blood with my chips. That's how I roll. A steak
that's
should
how
have
you roll.
Blood
I
coming
usually
out of
have,
it.
I usually go with medium rare, but I mean, I've had to, the amount of people who I go to steak restaurant with and, you know, they say, oh, I'm having it well done, please. And then they hate it. And I'm like, well, you fucking, I told you, I warned you, right? You don't know what you're doing. You know, if you're in doubt, say, what does the chef recommend? Okay, that's the safe go-to, right? Because they're never going to say, well done.
I go to a steakhouse, I have macaroni and cheese. Like, that's all I can have.
Do you have it well done, or do you
get a steak there?
Do you have it how the chef recommends, or do you have it well done?
How will you have that macaroni and cheese?
Macaroni and cheese. Well, I mean, we went to a steakhouse in America, and they have to serve bacon with everything, right?
Yeah.
So I had to actually say, can I have macaroni and cheese without bacon on top, please? And they were like, Reg, we got a code 3 out on the floor. We got a
bacon
customer
hater.
Doesn't want bacon.
Get
what
out.
Are we supposed to do?
Just get the fuck out.
Yeah, you get the fuck out of here. Yeah,
fucking commie.
Don't make me say it two times. Yeah, it was pretty bad. So
this fucking guy don't want bacon on his mac and cheese. What the fuck? What's wrong with you? Mikey Macaroni back there is busting his balls to get the bacon on the macaroni.
Yeah, it's like
You don't want no bacon on your macaroni. Get the fuck out, you bum.
Yeah.
Go back to Jersey.
They get really fucking shirty about it, but it was okay in the end, thankfully. There was no scene caused.
He picked it out.
I picked it out,
yeah. Go to a steak restaurant
with
a vegetarian.
Asparagus, like... You get like some asparagus and it's fucking wrapped in bacon. What the fuck? Like, jeez.
We could take a break from the meat for 1 second here, lads, and just have a fucking vegetable. Yeah. Have a fucking vegetable.
Shit. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, bacon is, I remember, like, when I used to eat meat, having bacon and stuff. Bacon's good, but, like, fuck, I wouldn't put bacon on everything. I'd put ketchup on everything, gladly, but, like, not bacon. Holy shit.
Yeah, man. That's fine. Yeah. So that was, like, a warning sign, right? And so then, you know, he said, when we went out to this really fancy sushi place, right? And we bought some nice sake and we were drinking it and stuff. Doug was like, oh, I can't think about sake. It doesn't have a smell. And we were like, what do you mean? So we smelled it, right? And it smells like wine. It's quite got a good smell. And he couldn't smell it. Okay. So I'm like, I love Doug so much, right? I just don't know whether his senses are all just like slowly disappearing one by one, right? And then after the sushi, okay, we were talking about how nice it was. And he said, oh, the tuna was so delicious, it was like eating a Wotsit.
What?
Right? It was like eating a Wotsit.
A what?
Like a Wotsit.
It's like a cheat. What
like kind
a cheeto.
Of? Like
what
a kind fucking of? Like a cheese, like
yeah,
a cheesy
like a
cheeto. Cheeto. Yeah.
What is?
The ones that like melt in your mouth, sort of, because you don't even know what
Why
they're actually made of.
Why would you pick that? As a comparison, what an odd thing to say, right? And then one more thing that I've written down here.
Did you write it down then and there? Like when he said it, did you whip out a little notepad?
No, one more thing that I
wrote that down
later on was that today Duncan saw a woman watching porn of herself. Right?
Wow.
So he walked by this woman who was in the hotel lobby watching porn on her laptop of herself. Well, that's what he told me. Now...
I mean, honestly, the amount of times I've walked by somebody looking at a laptop hoping that that would happen, like, does he realize that that's like
one in a million
pretty big thing? Yeah, I mean,
one in a million.
That's not something that happens to everybody in their lifetime, and it's happened to him. Like, does he realize how lucky he is to have seen or at least caught a glimpse of somebody just being a massive degenerate in public? Like,
I don't even know where to start with that.
I would have relished that.
Yeah.
What a weird thing. So, I mean,
that's
now I'm sort
weird,
of doubting his vision as well, right? I mean, the taste, the hearing, and the smell are already, like, queried. Okay, now the vision is starting to... Or his brain. What? I mean, what kind of...
Hey, you know what,
I don't even know.
Early onset dementia is the thing. It does happen to people. Maybe he's got it. Maybe he's like...
He's like 20, 27 or
I
something.
I have a lot of questions about that porn thing, right? So if I'm looking at a laptop... I'm looking towards a laptop, and if you're walking past behind me and you can see the laptop and you can see porn on the laptop, is he like seeing the porn and leaning around to have a good look at her face and then checking out the screen to make sure they...
Yeah.
I mean, if he's just strolling past, that's a pretty quick... Like, that's like some fucking...
that's true, actually.
That's
like,
what is he, in the FBI or some shit?
Yeah.
He just instantly recognizes, facial profile checks out. That's her in the movie, all right? We got her.
Well, I think we were waiting in the hotel lobby for a while.
Right.
And so we were hanging out there.
Maybe.
He was obviously waiting there. Who was just casually watching a porn of themselves on their laptop.
That is weird.
That's pretty
maybe
weird.
She had some last minute editing to
maybe,
do.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's a common thing. She's got a, you know, a cam, whatever. Yeah. She does her maybe own little channel.
Maybe she got like a memo back from head office is like, oh, could you go back through and touch it up a little bit? The fake taxi doesn't actually look fake enough. Let's just see what you can do. And, you know, there she was in the hotel lobby just editing her butt off to make that deadline. You never know.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe she was just recording a little bit of extra stuff for it in the lobby as well. Maybe like Duncan will be in the background, like creepily looking over her shoulder. Who knows? Who knows? Let me know.
That'd be funny.
Send me a link.
Yeah, so all of you out there that watch porn, eyes peeled for Duncan in the background scene.
It's like Where's Waldo, but you'll be looking for Duncan in this case, who also has glasses. So, you know, there's some similarity.
Yeah.
There.
So yeah, it was a joy to get out of the routine. And I know you guys feel the same way, right?
Like, man, it's the opposite for me. Like, I love the routine. When you're out of the routine, it's like, wow, what the fuck? Like, what am I doing? It's all new stuff and everything. Like, I'm
happy like the routine.
Routine.
I like going away if it means we get to go out to the pub. And I can get up late. Those are the two things I like: going to the pub.
Yeah.
Waking up late. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Everything else is, you know, it's nice.
There's like,
but I like being at home.
There's no chance of those things happening in my life right now. So I'm totally fine with the routine.
Isn't that what Conan the Barbarian said? What is good in life? Going to the pub.
Getting up late.
Sleeping late. Up late.
Wearing your pants around the house.
Conan loves that kind of stuff. You guys want to talk about games quick before we wrap up?
Like, sure.
Is it worth talking about games?
Sure.
Hearts of Iron 4, Pyrion. You've been
love
playing it.
Love it.
Love it.
It's got it's got some funky aspects to it. This is the release version, so it'll be patched to hell over the next few years with DLC and improvements and stuff. But yeah. I know the AI does do some funky shit. But it's fun. It keeps you on your toes. Like, if you know World War II really well, and I like to think that I know it reasonably well, if you know what's coming, it's kind of like, let's see how this battle turns out and see how it varies to history. It's like, okay, I mean, that's fairly interesting if you're into
that. There's two modes though, right? Like there's the one that sticks to history and then there's the one that
But it
you
doesn't
can
really
stray off
stick
and...
to history. It's just that the AI tends to focus on the same things it should do historically.
Right.
But it still does random shit, like Australia will declare war and stuff. Like, random shit still happens. Like, Japan is routinely, in the games I've been playing, war decked the Russians and just invaded like from the east. And they've got so many more troops there than the Russians. The Russians are desperately trying to move troops across Siberia, which has zero infrastructure, to get to the front. And that's kind of interesting. And the entire of the Middle East goes crazy. There's all everybody's allies everywhere. And the AI will just say to you, hey, I want to give you 50 divisions of infantry as like an expeditionary force to help out. So you suddenly get this huge sort of swathe of troops turning up just when you need it and stuff. It's interesting. It is quite sweet. Cool. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love it. And the UI is gorgeous. They've done an amazing job. So yeah, well done, Paradox.
Well, there you go.
Holy crap. That's a shining accolade. I'm going to have to put some time into it, I think, because I've never played any of the Hearts of Iron, and I'm a big World War II fan.
When I come down, we can do a run-through, if you like. And I'll tell you what we could do. If you want, when I come down, you can be the general and I can be like your advisor.
Okay.
And just recommend stuff. But I'd love to see what you think to do and like what you do, what your ideas are. That would be good. I could be like...
Yeah, we should definitely talk. I mean, I could talk about World War II with you for fucking hours. Yeah, so maybe that would be fun just to do.
Is it multiplayer? Can you actually play multiplayer?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
They streamed a shitload of multiplayer. It looks really good. But it is. There's a lot of detail to it if you dig down. But on the surface, you can manage it a lot more easily. Like the older ones, there was a shitload of detail, but it was just such a pain in the ass to manage.
Yeah.
Whereas now you can you genuinely can leave your troops to it on some of the fronts and just be like, you guys handle that. I know, I trust you. And your generals will go, yeah, and they'll go do it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll look into it.
I got it. I just haven't played it yet, but I plan on playing it. I like strategy games and games that are difficult to figure out and that I feel like I want
there's
to,
a lot to it there is a lot
put
to
my
it.
Balls into a vice
get your
grip
balls
with,
in
so,
it yeah.
I have bought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games on Steam in the last week and played none of them. Actually, I did, because you told me last time I should play Shopkeep.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, it's good.
Do you remember telling me to play that? I loaded it up. I bought like 3 red potions. I put them on sale. I wasn't paying attention. 2 of them got stolen.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, you got to chase after people and kill them and stuff. Yeah.
And then I'd made like 2 gold on it or something.
Yeah.
And then I could only buy And then I played it for like another hour, selling this one red potion over and over again, and then I quit because I didn't know what I was doing. Well, was I doing it wrong?
Yeah, probably.
I think I was doing it wrong.
There's more to it than just selling red potions.
So, but yeah, it's Shelby Keep actually came out full release, didn't it?
Yeah, like on 20th Steam, of May. Like, I think I saw a Sips video of it. I'm sure you did a video of Shopkeep.
Yeah, I haven't played it in some time now, but yeah, I think it's fully released. It's a fun game. It's cool if you like that kind of thing. Like, it's like a bit of like a tycoon sort of.
I didn't like
game,
it.
But the graphics are. They're okay. It's a bit weird. It's like it seems like it reminds you a bit of like Minecraft, sort of like the like graphics wise. But
yeah.
I mean, the goal is you just like run a shop, a medieval shop. People come in and buy shit, and you try to make some money off them and expand your shop. And yeah, it's cool. It's fun.
Might see if someone wants to live stream it or something. It feels like the kind of place to. It feels like the kind of thing that is a better environment, you know, to do it rather than. It just felt like a very sort of slow game without me having stuff to do, especially at the start.
Yeah.
But I think if you RP'd a bit, it would probably be more fun.
So you bought 11 games and you played none of them, so you're not actually playing anything currently.
I've installed none of them. Right. I'm afraid I've had no time, but I will do this week, especially when you come down, Tips. We'll play a bunch of them.
I've been playing Overwatch. I don't even know if I've really been enjoying it, but I've been playing it a lot.
And, it's fun. Play it with other people. I tried
you
solo
have to play
queue
with
and it's
other
awful.
Solo queue is garbage.
Yeah,
holy
it is
shit, it's
really
so bad.
Bad.
But yeah, if you play with people that you know and you can coordinate and stuff like that, it is pretty fun. It's pretty enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's like like typical polished Blizzard game. It feels very nice. It you know, plays very nice and everything.
Agreed.
I'm not sure like what the future holds for it. Like, I don't know what their plans are. I guess there'll be new game modes and maps and eventually heroes and shit.
Yeah.
But so far so good. It's pretty good. It's pretty fun. Well, people are raving on about it. I don't know if like I feel that strongly about it, but I don't hate it as much as I thought I was going to after playing in the closed beta. So at least that's something, I guess. But it's just like it feels like one of those games that I'll play as like while I'm waiting for something else better to come out, sort of thing. Like I'll probably stop playing it, you know, when Legion comes out or something. I don't know. That's probably a bad example because I probably won't play Legion for longer than like 2 weeks either. But, you know, like something else will probably come out and I'll just play that instead or whatever.
Right.
But it's fun for now. It's pretty good. And I've been playing Prison Architect as well.
Oh, that's a great game. That is a great game.
It's really good. It's really fucking good. Yeah, I like it.
It's got a kind of a Rimworld thing to it in that.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that happens is, I think what makes it entertaining is it's kind of emergent shit.
Yeah.
Like, you don't realize something is going to happen, and then it happens. You're like, oh my God, that happened because
they've added so much stuff to it as
well.
Like, all this stuff that I haven't even used, like, that you can do, like, a parole board now. There's, like, a library and stuff, and it's like, oh, it's like all this new stuff to, like, check out and test out. You can do, there's, like, this whole research thing, like, that you can get your warden or your security chief to research for, like, automated doors. And it's like, apparently the system is a bit like redstone in Minecraft. So, like, it's kind of like, you know, you like endless possibilities. You can like time doors to open at certain times of the day and close.
Oh, wow.
Or you can have a guard like manually sort of press buttons to open doors and shit like that. So I'm looking forward to like all that shit too.
Do they have gangs in yet? Because they were talking about having gangs, like prisoner gangs.
Gangs are in. It's just like an added difficulty level. So like, you know, if you have to take it before you start a prison to like enable it. And then if it's in, prisoners who turn up and depending on what gangs they're like, you know, aligned to or whatever, they'll attack other gang members.
Right.
It just makes it like a bit more unruly, I guess. So yeah, it's cool. It's a fantastic game.
Yeah.
It's like well worth the buy. For
definitely.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that's a good time to end or
what about
do
questions?
Some questions
Let's
from
do a few
the audience.
Questions.
I got
what
some.
Got?
I tweeted out this morning. Let me just go through here and pick some random ones. Oh, here's one. Okay. This is from Raccoon Shun, who asks, who in the Yogg's cast would you be least surprised if they were a serial killer?
Kim.
Yeah, it's always the quiet ones. Kim's not quiet.
She seems quiet and sweet. And
probably be Martin.
Martin. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Kim.
I'm going to say Al Smithy. No, seriously, I think he is a serial killer, but whatever. Okay, this is from Adam, who says, to each member of the Triforce podcast, what goes into your favorite sandwich?
Good question.
Oh.
Good question.
Oh, God.
Who wants to go first?
Well, it used to be ham, mustard, and tomato. Man, that was I used to love it, but I've stopped trying to eat so much ham and stuff lately. So I haven't had one for ages, and I've been eating more like hummus on pita, which I'm a big fan of now. Yeah. So my favorite sandwich at the moment is pita hummus with a bit of salad in there.
I eat a lot of that.
A bit of tomato
as well.
Goes really well.
I still think that my all-time favorite sandwich has got to be peanut butter and jam, though. Like, I can't get over it. I've always enjoyed peanut butter and jam and still do to this day. So there you go.
What kind of jam?
Raspberry jam. Has to be raspberry jam for me.
Okay.
I like a chicken and bacon club. Like mayonnaise, chicken, bacon, tomatoes, lettuce, and then maybe mustard on the top layer. Really nice bread, like really good farmhouse white bread. But like I am kind of a sucker for Subway's Italian BMT. I like that with red onion and ranch dressing.
I mean, man, I had a Subway Veggie Delight while we were away, and I haven't had one for a while. And they're good. They were good. She toasted it as well, which was nice.
Sandwiches are magnificent. I remember outside my school there was a sandwich shop, which I guess probably shut down now, but it sort of served some of the offices around the place, and they did a fantastic club sandwich, okay? And it was bread and then chicken and mayo, quite thick, and then bread and then BLT, so bacon, lettuce, tomato, and then bread and then a sausage cut in half with cheese melted on it in the microwave, and then bread. So there were four slices of bread.
That's crazy.
Okay? And it was a fucking delight.
Nice.
Honestly.
The best breakfast sandwich I used to have when I was at work was bacon and brie. And the brie, or it would be bacon and Stilton was the other
one. You know
what
I'd really like? I'd like people to take pictures of their sandwiches, okay? I'd like people to make the peanut butter and raspberry jam. I'd like people to make my quad club. I'd like people to take photos of their sandwiches that they've made and share them.
Yeah, let's do it.
Man, that's a I nice think it'd be thing awesome. To do.
Sandwich gallery.
Sandwich day. That's right.
Hashtag sandwich gallery.
The Triforce sandwich gallery.
Be nice.
Galleria.
All right. Last question for the day then from a person named Becky. Who's the sweatiest of you three? This is a good question, actually. I don't know how sweaty you guys are.
I'm gonna say me.
I'm not overly sweaty. I sweat sometimes. But
if it's hot at all, my head just turns into a sheen. Like I get a sweat on. Yeah. I'm a pretty sweaty guy. But I love the heat, so I tend to keep the house hot. I like hot days. I'll get out there. Like if it's at all sunny outside, I'll have that sweat just coming down my chest like in a hot, manly way.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm not stinky. I don't smell. Ask Mrs. F. I'm not a smelly man, but I drink a lot of water and I stay hydrated. So when it's time to sweat, my body's like, we've got this covered. It's just sweat.
Yeah.
I think I'm
probably pretty much the same. I don't sweat profusely or anything. Like I don't sweat like just before I'm about to eat or anything like that. But you know, if it's hot out and stuff,
get that dinner time sweats. Get that dinner
but
time.
But I don't stink either, so that's fine too.
So Becky, if you like sweaty guys, you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not particularly a sweaty guy, but that's because I have trouble getting hot. I think like I'm quite thin and I think I must have some genetics because I think I have some genetics from hotter countries than this because I don't get hot.
I think
really.
You're too English honestly, Lewis. You're probably the most English of the three of us, I'd say. So you're probably too English to sweat.
I have a handkerchief with which I pat
Did
myself.
Did something just
sometimes.
Fall on Sips from his garage roof?
Yeah, I died. No, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, what was that?
No, there was like a knocking at the door and stuff. So while you were talking about being sweaty, I thought I'd just go check quickly. But turns out it was just the roofer doing his roof thing. So
falling off the roof to his death.
I heard a crunch and a scream, but I just ignored it. So
okay, good job.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should go and call an ambulance and make sure he's all right.
I'm going to go do that now, yeah.
Or make him a cup of tea. Have you offered him a cup of tea yet today?
No, I haven't, no. I don't like to do that.
What are you doing?
Because I
it's the etiquette. Well, offer him a cup of tea and a biscuit.
No, that's maybe that was the case in like the 1960s, but it's not now. So, you know, I don't want
him to
get accustomed to
it. He's expecting
it. No.
I always make anyone who visits me a cup of tea and a biscuit. I don't even drink tea with milk and I don't even eat biscuits, but I have a special thing cupboard where if someone's coming around to fix something, because they're expecting it, Sips.
Well, why aren't you just the greatest grandmother in the whole wide world?
PFAX, back me up.
I thought you were saying you had a cupboard, and if someone was coming around, you hid in the cupboard till the work had finished.
This is where I store my victims.
I'll be in the cupboard until you guys are done. I'm uncomfortable in this situation.
Just shove a note through under the cupboard door when you're done. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Cool.
Fine.
Right. Let's leave.
Great.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be back soon with Triforce part... insert part number here. Well, and I hope you guys enjoyed this part. Send in your questions and all that
jazz. It's not a part. This is an episode.
Episode. Whatever. Fuck. All right, I screwed it up.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.